Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And here's what he's praying for. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He says, I'm praying for you that God will reveal himself to you. In verse 18, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In other words, seeing something we haven't seen before. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And was the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. I hope you're listening to this. He says, I'm praying that God will open your eyes about himself. And you'll learn about him first off. And then I'm praying the eyes of your understanding being enlightened about yourself. That he'd open your eyes about God first. And then he'd open your eyes about yourself secondly. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places. He just said that the same power that it took to raise his son is the power that's working in us. The same power it took to raise the Lord from the dead is the power that's working in us. What a statement. What a truth. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. In other words, he says far above anything the devil can do, anything you could name or imagine. Stronger than anything that's opposing us. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I will not rehash what I've said in reading these verses. But to summarize, he's saying, I am praying then God will open your eyes to him. Man, if we'd ever see God as he is, if we could just see him, understand him better, realize how big and able he is, how loving he is, how holy he is. If we could see God as he is, we'd never be the same. But he doesn't stop there. He says, I'm praying that God will open your eyes to yourselves, to what God has done in you. I preached a few weeks ago, I began this message about, have you ever met yourself? Have you ever been introduced to yourself? I am convinced we fail to realize who we are in Christ and what he has done for us and in us and he will do through us. Have you ever met yourself? If we could do what he's saying, we could see God as he is and see us as we really are. Not just the sinful people we are, but the sanctified, the saved, the regenerated people that we are, if you're saved. I have used some words to walk myself through this. I used the word conversion. If you're saved, you have been converted. You are no longer the same. Converted means changed. I am different, I promise you. You may not be too impressed with me now, but most of you didn't know what I used to be. If you knew what I used to be, you'd be quite impressed with what I am now. And that's not because of me, it's because of him. I have been converted. I use the word clean. Somebody who's saved lives a clean life. Desires to live a clean life, wants to live clean, wants to live holy. I use the word child. We not only are a part of His family. We are His children. I can go to God and call Him Daddy, Abba, Father. I am His child. Oh, He's holy, and yes, He's God, and yes, He's supreme, and all the things we could say about Him. But I can go to Him like a little child going to a daddy, and that's exactly what we're supposed to do. I use the word to complete all that He has. He put inside of us the moment we got saved. We got all of God the instant we got saved. We are complete in Him. I use the word capable. He makes us able. I use the word conviction tonight. It may shock you. I don't know if it will or not. But one of the things I am most thrilled about in this thing of being saved is being convicted. I am so glad when I do something wrong or I start going the wrong way or my mind begins to wander in a wrong direction. God convicts me, speaks to me. I am so glad I cannot do as I please and get by with it. He says, I'm praying that you will see all that you are in Christ. And if you're one of His, when you do something, He'll tell you about it. That's what happened to Peter when he denied the Lord. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. That's conviction. He absolutely came unglued. He wept bitterly. The word is violently. He absolutely was coming apart. And the reason was because God was convicting him. I rejoice in that. I do not like conviction. I do not like to experience it. But I'd rather be convicted and drawn back into God's will than for Him to just let me go. I'm glad tonight that He convicts His people. He draws them. I don't like feeling sorry about my sin. But I'd rather be sorry about my sin than not care, not be touched, and be unconcerned. I'm thankful that a holy God comes to His child and says, you can't do that and get by. I want to say another word, the word chastisement. I ain't never liked getting whippings. Most of them I deserved. I remember one, worst one I ever got. I didn't really feel like I deserved them. But I do know this, I've never been whipped by God when I didn't deserve it. I'm talking about Paul said, I am praying that you will see all that you are in Christ Jesus. That you will see what He's doing in you. A part of what He's doing is convicting you when you do wrong and chastising you when you don't listen. When He convicts us and we go on, He will chasten us. I rejoice in that. Hebrews 12:6 says it like this. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Hey, being chastened of the Lord means He loves me. Now, sometimes parents, they're chastening, they're whipping. Is that anger? Or because the child has hurt the parents' pride, misbehaved when they weren't supposed to, around their friends or whatever. But God always chastens rightly. He chastens for one reason. One reason. He loves you. He deals with us in a way a father does a child because He loves us. Hebrews 12:8 says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you masters and not sons. He said, if you can do it, and I don't convict you, and then if I don't chasten you, you're not one of my children. I'm saying one of the blessings of being a Christian, one of the blessings of being a child of God, is that He convicts us, and if need be, He chastens us. I am glad He takes our joy away when we don't behave. I am glad He does not let us have peace if we've misbehaved. I am glad he does not continue to answer our prayer quickly and readily and wholeheartedly if we behave ungodly. I am glad we are convicted. I am glad we are chastened. It is a sign that he loves us. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. I understand that. I never have enjoyed a whipping. I remember my sister-in-law, when she's growing up, they'd whip her and she'd say, "Hit me harder. Hit me harder." Well, I ain't never been that sort. That's just plumb dumb, I'll just tell you. They asked Preacher Blackburn, says, Nora said to Preacher Blackburn, "I whip her and she just says, hit me harder. What am I to do?" Preacher Blackburn said, "Hit her harder." She'll stop that while after a while. You hit her hard enough, and I'm not talking about abuse, I'm talking about whipping. But I am saying this, no whipping you ever got was something that made you happy. And God doesn't like to whip, but he doesn't like us astray. Here's what it says, Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, listen, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. He said, nobody likes to get whipped. But I want to tell you, when you succumb, you give in, you surrender to the whipping, and you correct your actions, you correct your behavior. See, a real whipping is not just punishment. Real whipping is correction. A real whipping is to punish severely enough to where the action is changed. So the real purpose of a real whipping is to change the action. And God says, when I whip you and you change your actions and you yield forth that peace, that fruit of righteousness, you start doing right. Have you ever gotten whipping by God and he convicted you and maybe chastened you, and on your knees somewhere broken, you said, "Oh God, I'm sorry. Oh Father, you're right to chasten me. You're right to convict me. I have done wrong. I have paid the consequences. My joy is gone. I have no peace. I have no power. I cannot expect you to answer my prayer. God, I am sorry." And you know at that moment, he forgives you and peace comes in and joy comes back. And all of a sudden, you know you're in right connection with God again. That's what he's talking about. That's what it takes many times to get right, chastening and conviction. And if it takes that, it's worth it. I'll tell you, when you get up in the morning and you know you're right with God, when you lay down at night and you know everything's all right between me and my Lord, it's worth the whipping if that's what it takes. I think of the word also, conqueror. You think of yourself as a conqueror? That suggests a battle. You cannot be a conqueror if there's not an enemy, there's not a battle, there's not a war, there isn't an attack. The word conqueror suggests there is a battle, but it also suggests I am the winner. I'm talking about, have you ever met yourself? Have you ever realized, has it dawned on us what God did in us when we got saved and what he's doing in us now that we are saved? The word conqueror describes us well. We may not realize that, but it's biblical. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, did the verse, is it in there or not? Nay, in all these things. What things? All these things. What does that include? Everything. What's excluded? Nothing. In all these things, no matter what battle, no matter what need, no matter what attack, no matter what issue, no matter what problem, we are conquerors. We have already won. Why? Because he won the battle for us. He defeated the devil. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith ye shall be able. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He just told us how we can win. He told us how we cannot be defeated. He told us what to do with the attack when it comes. He did not say, I'll stop the attack. He said, I'll tell you how to win the attack. When he fires those fiery darts of doubt or dread or despair or worry or fear or whatever, he said, I'll tell you how to quench those fiery darts from the wicked one. By faith. Believing, he said, take on the shield of faith. I'm talking about, this Bible says we've already won. We are conquerors. We are winners. By faith. It means I believe what God said. I believe what he said about me. Paul said, I'm praying for you. I am praying that God will open your eyes to who you are in Christ. You are not some weakling. You are not some worrywart. You are not some hiding around the corner, tail between the legs puppy. You are a conqueror. You are a winner. You have won the battle already. And when the devil attacks, you don't have to give in. Listen to this, Romans 6:11. Here's the key. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know what he's saying? When Jesus Christ died, I died with him. He died not only for us, he died as us. When he died on the cross, we died with him. And he says, reckon that to be so. By faith, reckon your old man dead. See, this is so foreign to us. When I deal with this, most of us just say, that's a fairy tale. You know why? Because our eyes haven't been opened to the truth. Paul said, I am praying that your eyes will be open to what God's done in you. And the Bible says we are victors. We are conquerors. Our old man has been killed. Our old man has been put to death by Jesus. But we must reckon it so. We must believe it by faith. In other words, when the tempter comes, say, hey, you can't do anything with me because I'm dead in Christ. I have died in Christ. My old man is dead. You say, that don't work. You ain't never tried it. You've never really tried it because it'll work. Conqueror. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from thee. Now does it say it or not? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It does not say he won't attack, but when he attacks, when we submit to God and resist him, he'll flee. Well, I want to tell you, we are conquerors. In other words, confidence. If we could grasp what I've touched on tonight, it would produce in us a confidence. Not in ourselves, because I have nothing in myself to be confident about. I have nothing in myself to boast of. I have nothing to brag about. When I say I'm in Christ, that doesn't brag on me, it brags on him. When I say I'm a conqueror because of him, that doesn't brag about me, it brags about him. Confidence means I know God is with me. No matter what I'm facing, I know he not only is with me in his presence. He's not just hanging around, but he's working. He is doing something in my life with everything I face. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, which is lack of confidence, lack of faith. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Sound mind means I'm not shaken. Sound mind means I'm not disturbed. In spite of what I'm facing, if I do what that verse says, I'll have a sound mind, confidence in the Lord. He said, that's what he did for us when we got saved. I'm talking about, have you ever met yourself? Has it ever dawned on us what God did when he saved us? Paul said it like this, I am crucified with Christ. Didn't I say that? I died with him when he died. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I mean, I'm alive. Paul said, humanly speaking, here I am. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said, my body's alive. But that old Paul's not alive. That old Paul's dead. That old Paul died when Jesus died. That old man died when Jesus died. And the life you see, I'm living now. I'm an example of Christ living through somebody. It's him in me, him working through me. Can you say that of yourself? Your life is a display of the power of God, the presence of God working through you. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I just want you to meet yourself. I just want you to know who you are in Christ. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He said, I've got confidence in the Lord. I have faith in him. I think about the word commission. Paul talks an awful lot about what the Lord has done in us, what God has done for us, according to the work of his mighty power, that which is exceeding greatness of his power to us, word, who believe, his power in us. But that power's not just there. That work's not just being done to make me happy. It ought to make us happy, by the way. Some of us ain't got a hold of that, including me, like we should. But that working that he does in us is not just to make us happy, not even just to forgive us, not even get us ready for heaven. But that work that he's done and is doing in us is to enable him to work through us. A commission. We all, every saint, every child of God has a commission. An assignment, if you will. Here's what it says, 2 Corinthians 5:12, 5:20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray that you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. He said, I am an ambassador. I am on a mission. I have had a commission. God has sent me. And by the way, he has sent you and me. Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. He just as well have said that to me and you. He said, I am giving you power. The Holy Ghost will come upon you and he will work through you to tell others. Part of what God has done in us is to enable us to tell others. And we fail this so miserably. I do too. We fail so miserably in our commission. No matter who you are, no matter how shy you are, no matter how withdrawn you are, no matter how ill-equipped you feel, no matter how ignorant we are, we have a commission to tell others. And that is a part of what he's doing in us. He is working in us, what I've mentioned tonight and more, that he might work through us. Why? To reach somebody else. To reach someone else. And the last word, the word continue. Ephesians 2:10. I love this. Boy, it means a lot to me a lot of times. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He said, for we are his workmanship. You know what that means? A project. The end of a project is a product. You go to Krispy Kreme, their project is to make donuts, and their product is what we buy that we don't need. You go home tonight, you'll sit on some furniture. Somebody somewhere, that piece of furniture was their project. And the end result of their project was the product, and you went and bought it. And now you enjoy it. And God says, his project that he's working on is me. That I might one day, and hopefully sooner than later, I might be a product that he can use. He is right now working on you. That does me good to know, as far as I should be and as far back as I am, he's not going to quit. He will continue. The perseverance of the saints is a biblical doctrine, which means if you really are saved, he ain't going to quit working on you. It does not matter how far we stray, doesn't matter how hard-headed we are, he will not stop working on his project because he wants to make a product he can use. He wants to use us, and he can use us, and he will use us. If we'll let him, he will. But he's not quitting. He's working on us. And part of what he's doing is on a Super Bowl Sunday night, having a preacher go through a whole lot of verses to point out a whole lot of truths that's true about you, to show us what we are in Christ. Because he's working on us to make something useful out of us. We are his project. He's working on to where we can be a product. He's working on us to where he can use us. He's trying to teach us to believe it. Believe it. That's what he said. He said these facts are true. He did not lie. He did not stretch the truth. He was not confused. He did not misspeak. These things I've mentioned and much more are true of every believer. Every believer. And he says, I just want to let you know I'm working on you. I'm going to continue working on you. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. He says, I'm working on you so one day I can work through you. By the way, he's wanting to work through us right now. And if that work is not being done in your life, you're not saved. If somebody can do as they please and not be convicted and chastened and made miserable, they're not saved. That's what the Bible says. The Bible uses the word bastards and not sons. I believe that's a word, to be honest, that our English language has abused. I don't think it should be a word that we should consider a bad word because the Bible says it. I don't think we ought to say, oh, the Bible shouldn't say that. No, it's us that look at that word wrong. But right now, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit's working in your life. We can hinder him or we can submit. It's up to us. But I'll promise you something. There's more in us than we realize. And we stumble along and drag along and whine. And let me just say it this way. I do. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. And I don't have to. You ever met yourself? God's done a whole lot more in us than we ever realize. And surely more than we ever apply. Let's stand together. You listen well.